Last week we started a discussion. Billy, I didn't put the verses in. We started a discussion of the work of the widow, and we looked at the example of both Simeon, the older gentleman who was there in the temple, and also of Anna. We won't have the verses up on the screen this morning. I apologize. But we're just going to be staying in three verses. So I thought we could all do that together. No problem. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. We're going to be reading verses 36 to 38. Let's read the account of Anna. I'll give you some context and then we'll see what the Lord says to us. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Father, I'd ask that you help us now as we open your word. Lord, help us to see the beautiful story of Anna, and the testimony, Lord, and the example that she leaves for us. I pray that you would use it in our hearts, in our lives, and Lord, may we learn and grow through it. In your name I pray, amen. Now, you'll recall that Jesus, Joseph, and Mary are returning, the way that I understand it, is that they're returning from Egypt, heading back to Nazareth. On the way, Mary has to be purified, and they have to present their firstborn son in the temple. This is a requirement of Jewish law. They come into the temple, then Mary has been purified, and they move on to stage two, which is the presentation of the son. And here they go, and Simeon comes along, and it says Simeon took baby Jesus in his arms. And he says he was led by the Holy Spirit. You can see that in verse 27. He came by the Spirit. This older gentleman comes along and he sees, the Holy Spirit tells him, this is the Messiah. He comes along and you can see the older man take him in his arms and he declares, he says, oh, now that I've seen this, the promise of the Lord has been fulfilled. Messiah is here. I can die a happy man, essentially is what he says. My life is complete. I've seen the Messiah. He goes on to prophesy. We looked at Simeon's song last week. We looked at the truths that were contained in it about Jesus being the Savior of the whole world. What a beautiful song of praise that is. And so it's almost as if Simeon sort of finishes and right behind him comes Anna. I love the opening phrase that introduces us to Anna. It says, and there was one, Anna. And there was one, Anna. Now, just step back for a minute, if you will, and think about Anna's story. For all intents and purposes, Anna should be someone that history never hears about, right? Anna, it says, as we just read, Anna is perhaps 84 years old. Now, it's hard to determine, if you see verse 37, if she was a widow for 84 years, or if she was 84 years old and a widow. It's hard to discern exactly what that means. Either way, she's an older woman. It says she was of great age, and she's been a widow for a long, long time. Anna's story should be one that history doesn't record, right? I mean, there wasn't anything significant. It doesn't say that she came from wealth. In fact, because she was living in the temple, it's clear that she wasn't from wealth. She was a very poor woman, wouldn't have had anything to her name. There'd be no family that would have taken care of her. Perhaps she was barren and didn't have any children that could take care of her or provide for her. You know, most often, these are the people that are forgotten, aren't they? These are the people that are overlooked. But our God is not like that, is he? Instead, he sees things in a very different way than we do. And here, precious Anna, we hear and we see her story. I just love the way that starts. And there was one. That's God calling out one widow, one faithful older saint called out in this, I don't know, almost a sweet, sweet way. You know, God loves widows. In Psalm 68 and verse 5, it says that he is the protector of widows. In Psalm 146 and verse 9, it says that he relieves the widow. He lifts up the widow. God loved Anna, and as a demonstration of his love, he chose to include her in the account of the birth of his son. What a precious thing, and what a great honor. Can you imagine Anna, 84 or maybe even older than that, abiding in the temple, serving others her whole life, not a nickel to her name? Do you think she ever considered that she would be recorded in the eternal Word of God? What a precious thing that is, isn't it? Not only that, but she, I don't believe, perhaps was ever expecting to come face to face with the Son of God, Messiah. Anna's story continues in verse 37, where it tells us, of course, about her age. And we see over and over again that God provides for and cares for widows. We just looked at two verses there in Psalm, but in the New Testament, this theme is continued. This is not just a theme for the Old Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, specifically in verses 3 through 10, Paul gives instruction to the church on how they are to care for widows. Now, 1 Timothy 5 is instruction, practical instruction, for how we are to care for the various members of the church, including the pastor. In fact, the most famous verse that pastors love to bring up in 1 Timothy chapter 5 is that a pastor is worthy of double honor, right? We never miss that one. We always hit that high point. But before that, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3, Paul says, honor the widows that are among you. Honor widows. You know, that's a very different thing than our culture today, isn't it? Widows are most oftentimes left to live alone, secluded from the rest of society. But the church is supposed to be different. Because of this instruction, and because we know of the deacons in Acts chapter 6, if you recall, deacons were started because the widows weren't being cared for the way that they were supposed to be, right? They started the office of widow, or the office of deacon was created because of the care of the widows. This is an important piece. And last year on July 26th, actually, right, almost about a year ago, I preached a message about widows and talked about how the church has a responsibility to help them. It was after that service that our church started what we call the Widows Fund and the Widows Care Ministry. And Jamie and Sheila, and Bill and Cheryl, they are dedicated, committed to helping the widows in our church. And we've already given, I think, I don't know, close to $10,000, maybe more, helping the widows of our church. For some, we pay utility bills on a monthly basis. For others, we provide groceries. For others, we help with different financial needs in various ways. We are actively, regularly, as a leadership team and as a body, working to support and care for and help our widows. It's something that we believe that Scripture has commanded us to be involved in. And our church, I believe, is doing that in the right way. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. And we're very thankful for the opportunity to be able to serve, to be able to love. Right? It's a wonderful thing. Every week, we have an offering for widows. A portion of our offering goes to widows. We believe this is the biblical command, and it's why we are trying to do it the way that we are. But something interesting is here about Anna. You see, not only are widows oftentimes forgotten, but many times widows convince themselves that they have no use to the church. They think to themselves, how can I be of service? What could I possibly do? Many times as you help them or you give something to them or you provide for them, they think to themselves, but what can I do for the church? How can I help? What I love about the story of Anna is that it also not only records her story, but it records her service. Let's look at verse number 37, and we see here three ways in which Anna served the body. It says, number one, she departed not from the temple. She departed not from the temple. Now, we would understand that the way that the Jews provided for their widows was to, on the temple grounds, provide housing and assistance for widows who were in great need, right? Paul, in 1 Timothy there, makes some clarifications of who really is a widow, who qualifies for that. The temple, this would have come from Old Testament teachings. And so we know that Anna most certainly lived there on temple grounds. But there would have been several other widows, right? It wouldn't have just been her. So why does Anna get called out? Well, I think it's because this word, she departed not from the temple, isn't talking about her dwelling place, but it's talking about her affection, her dedication, her commitment. She was committed to the work of the Lord as it was occurring in the temple. She wasn't distracted by other things. It seems to me that this is speaking of her focus. Boy, every day, when the temple doors were open, you knew that Anna was going to be there. If there was a service or help that needed to be done, Anna was going to be there. If there was cleaning to be done, or this to be done, or chairs to be set up, or this to happen, or that, boy, Anna was there. She was faithful. She was serving. Now, I love that we learn that she was older, right? But for Anna, age wasn't an excuse. Age was a feature. I'm sure she moved slower than the younger priests who bustled around the temple. I'm sure that at times she felt, you know, pushed out of the way or, you know, whatever, right? Because everyone's moving faster around her. She didn't escape age. No, instead, that was one of her features. But she was dedicated. She was committed. What could that look like for us today? What does that look like for you? Now, as you know, my heart's desire and prayer that the Lord would someday provide the ability to be able to house our widows here on the property of the church. Love to do that. Especially in today's economy, the upkeep of a house is overbearing and many times becomes totally undoable for many women as they lose their husband and move on into the older years of their life. It can become overwhelming if you don't have a family to help you. And so I believe the church could be provide that with some housing and help the widows to be able to stay here and to be on site and perhaps to practice just like Anna here with not departing from the church. But I think there are other ways beyond that widows can be involved. One of the obvious ways, of course, is through Bible study and prayer. One of the things that you have that many of us don't and are jealous of is time. Time. And you have the opportunity to be able to participate in things that perhaps not all of us could. Of course, attending church services and I think also serving the body. You remember Titus chapter 2 gives instruction to the older ladies to be involved in the lives of the younger ladies. Widows, you should be actively cultivating relationships with younger women in the church. Not just in the confines of our services, but literally going to their homes, spending time with them. You know, when you get coffee with a younger woman, you shouldn't do it at Dunkin' Donuts or Odyssey or Starbucks. I would encourage you to do it in their home. And while you're there, grab the basket that's full of laundry and fold it for them. And step into one of the kids' rooms and clean it up for them. Empty the dishwasher, perhaps. Do some dishes, right? Things that you wish someone would have done for you when you were there. These are things that you can do and have an impact and touch them, be meaningful in their lives. There are a lot of ways in which women can help. Of course, volunteering in various ministries around the church, helping with the school that goes on during the day, helping to clean the church, even something as simple as making bookmarks. On Monday night, we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we spent several weeks looking at the Beatitudes. One of the very thoughtful, kind things that happened was Carol Huber made for us, each one of us, a bookmark, designed it, and created it, and laminated it, and gave it to us as a reminder of all the various Beatitudes. What a thoughtful thing, right? What a kind thing. What a blessing that is. Boy, there's lots of opportunities like that for you to serve, for you to contribute, for you to be able to give back to the body. What a wonderful thing that was, a blessing. Many of you ladies do lots of things like that. But look at what Anna did here as her main service. Verse 37, she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Served God with fastings and prayer night and day. Interesting that this is, of course, found in Luke, but in 1 Timothy 5:5, when Paul's talking about widows, he says something that is very, very similar. He says in verse 5, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." Paul talking about describing a widow who's in need, who's desperate, desolate. It's almost as if Paul says she's in an enviable position because she has the privilege to fast and to pray and to trust only in God. Now, our minds and our hearts and our culture tell us it's better to have money in the bank and it's better to have a comfortable home and it's better to be well provided for, right? That's what we all strive for and think is best. Paul here calls out that the widow has the opportunity to be dependent fully upon God. And what a blessing and opportunity that is. He says, in prayers and fastings, night and day. Anna's testimony is that she prayed and fasted night and day. Now, I see the words here, but I don't want you to think that the picture is that every day she fasted and every night she prayed through the night. I don't think that's the case. I think rather that it was her testimony. It was known of her that she was one who was regularly using her time in prayer and in fastings as necessary or as it needed to be for the situation. She was committed to this. She was committed, faithful, serving God in this way. I think this is such an interesting thing that Paul or that Luke decides to use the words and the description of how did she serve the temple? She served the temple by prayer and fastings, by praying, by seeking God's favor on behalf of the congregation, of the body. Oh, that God would give us widows that would pray and fast for our families, for our men, for the spiritual welfare and condition of our body. Please don't pray for us that we find good jobs. Pray for us that we find a desperate need to seek God. Don't pray for us for our health. Instead, pray that God would do whatever it takes to break our hearts and lead us to Himself. We need widows who will be committed to praying. What a way to serve. What a ministry. You know, most of the time, we wouldn't even know that that was happening. And isn't it hard to serve in the shadows? It's hard, isn't it? Being faithful in prayer, denying yourself of food to commit yourself to this in various ways. What a faithful testimony. But it's how God moves. It's how God works, isn't it? What a blessing that is. I've shared a number of times, and I'll share again, the account of a revival that broke out in the late 1940s in the Hebrides, Scotland, in the Isle of Lewis, small rural community in Scotland, a forgotten place in the world, not somewhere where anybody looks or considers or thinks. And there on the Isle of Lewis are two older ladies, 182 and 184, sisters who have been widowed, who were so physically debilitated, one by blindness and one by debilitating arthritis. It says that she was hunched over that she could touch her toes. You know, that was her standing position. They couldn't physically attend church services anymore. And so they said, we've got to figure out some way to participate and some way to help. And we're concerned for our church and the lack of young people and young families who are coming with sincere desire to serve God. And so it says that they committed to praying two nights a week from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. And for several weeks and months, they prayed and prayed and prayed. And then several months more, they prayed and prayed and prayed. They started by praying that God would burden the hearts of the church leadership. And after several months, a pastor came to visit them. And they shared with him their burden. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about getting the men together to start prayer group. And the men started praying at the same time. And the men then started praying, and more of them started to gather. It says they prayed through the winter. They started to meet in a barn where there was no heat, no protection, no shelter, just a barn. They would pray there for hours, desiring to see God work. After several more months of praying, it is said that a deacon, a young deacon, said, all this time we've been praying and I've been harboring sin. And if we want God to move and if we want God to work in our midst, we have to get right. And he said, that has to start with me. They left that meeting place that night, all shook by the presence of God. Just they could feel God's presence. They were praying, and it was a very fervent time. When they opened the door of the barn, they could see the village, and it says there was a light on in every home. And as they walked back to their houses, people were coming out of their homes saying, we need to repent and we need to turn to God. How can we do that? The next morning, there were over 500 people waiting at the church doors, all just led there by the Spirit of God. There wasn't any announcement. There wasn't any email, right? Nobody texted anyone. They came because they were drawn to that place. A few weeks later, an evangelist came, Duncan Campbell, who began a week of services. He was scheduled to be there for 10 days and stayed for 2 years. Almost every single night, hundreds of people would come. He said he rarely preached. Instead, people would come and they would cry out while they're just sitting there saying, we need to repent. How do we get right with God? How do we serve God? And every night, more and more people would come and turn to God. Not because of fiery preaching, not because of some man's smooth tongue, but because of the Holy Spirit of God. Unleashed by two widows who prayed. God, give us widows who will pray, who will be like Anna. God, give us men who will pray, who will be uncomfortable, willing to be committed and dedicated to pray. I picture these ladies like I picture Anna, one who was faithful, dedicated, committed, praying night and day. It was the constant prayer of her heart. In verse 38, it tells us that her prayers were answered. And she coming in that instant. How did she know when to come to the temple? Like, how did she know when to come to that spot? Right? The temple's very large. How did she know that? Of course, the Spirit led her there, right? She comes in that instant. Says that she gave thanks likewise, meaning the same way Simeon did. She gives thanks unto the Lord. And then it says this, she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Her mouth was full of praise, of worship, of the gospel. What do you talk about? What's on your mouth? Are we talking about the Lord? Or are we talking about the latest headline? The latest thing in the news? This person or that person? Boy, what a testimony Anna is, isn't she? I love how this verse, this section ends. It says, spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. That looked for redemption. The faithful. The faithful who were looking for Jesus Christ, who were looking for the Messiah. There she is amongst her congregation, among those that loved the Lord and followed her. What a testimony Anna is. And this is why Luke says, and there was one, Anna. Boy, God, give us one. God, give us two or three. Widows, I just want to address you just really quickly from my heart to you. As a church body, we all stand collectively committed to caring for you to the very best of our ability. It will not be perfect, and we'll miss things, probably lots of things, but we are committed to doing whatever we can do in whatever way that God allows us and gives us the ability to help you, to provide for you, and to care for you, and to minister to you. I would plead with you to follow Anna's example, to meditate and to think about what God is saying here, to be challenged by the example of the widow, to look at the ways that widows served in the church. And I would encourage you to follow her example. May it be said of you that you don't depart from the house of God. May it be said of you that you in prayers and fastings wrought great, great work of God in your church. And maybe none of us will know it. Maybe your name will be forgotten here on earth. But I assure you, your God, your Father, will never forget it. And for all of eternity, will give you the praise and recognition that you are worthy of. May God give us an Anna. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts and challenge us and convict us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would please work in our hearts. Lord, every single one of us here should be challenged by the example of Anna. She has every reason to not be the figure that is called out here. And yet, here she is. The one who steps forward, the one who faithfully serving in the shadows, given the great privilege of coming face to face with Jesus Christ, the Savior of all the world. And she believes and she declares it. Lord, what a beautiful example that she is. I pray, Father, that we would be made aware and challenged and led by her example. May you use it in our hearts and our lives. May each one of us, Lord, be more committed to you, more dedicated to you because of Anna's example. And Lord, I do pray. I pray that you would help us as a church body to be able to help minister in the very best way that we possibly can. We love our widows. Lord, we love each one of them. We're so thankful for them. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as your heart does, that we would seek ways to care for them and to provide for them. I thank you so much for Jamie and Sheila and for Bill and Cheryl and their ministry and their faithfulness, Lord. Nearly every day they are doing something with a widow and ministering to them in some way. And I just pray, Lord, that many more of us will be involved in that and engaged in that work and ministry. And Lord, I pray for our widows that you would comfort them and help them, Lord. I know that they carry a burden that we cannot understand. I know that many of them are very lonely, Lord. And I just pray that, God, our church would surround them and embrace them and uplift them in the way that you would. I pray, Lord, that you would call them to faithful service in just the way that Anna was. That we would see them, Lord, ministering amongst us. That we would know of their prayer and dedication. And Lord, would you please answer their prayers? Would you show them that you are a God that loves and cares for the widow and answers their prayer, Lord? Would you give to them mighty prayer lives that bring great, great blessing from you? Show yourself faithful on their behalf. And our entire body, our whole congregation, each one of us, will give thanks and praise to your holy name. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for our time together this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.